relationship with. So you're setting yourself up for a lot of pain if you're looking at anybody thinking, you'll never hurt me. I can always, always depend on you. Don't give that trust to anybody but Jesus. He is the only one that deserves that kind of total, complete, radical trust. And don't ever look at anybody and think, I don't know what I'd do without you. I don't know what I'd do without you. The only one you want to say that to is Jesus. I don't know what I would do without you. And so, long story short, I had a relationship with these ladies for a long time, and we were just having fun. Just having fun, being in, I think, really playing at being in ministry at that point. I still couldn't even really tell you what happened. I know now that it was God just revealing their weaknesses. Not that I didn't have a bunch of my own, I did, but God was going to promote me to new levels in ministry. He had a plan for my life, and I couldn't take those people with me. Do you know, every place where the bus stops, somebody has to get off. Amen? And so the bus was stopped, and God was ready to take me to my next destination, but there were some people that needed to get off the bus, and I didn't know it. So long story short, I found out they were talking about me behind my back. I found out that one of them was after my job. I found out that they were telling lies about me. And look at me when I tell you that I was devastated and heartbroken. I couldn't believe it because they were Christians. Now, I had come from worldly relationships where people did that kind of stuff, but these were Christians. So don't even look at your Christian friends and think, you will never hurt me. And it's not even that people are mean. They're just people. They're just fleshly people. And so that's a time when I can remember when, man, was my world shaken. I mean shaken. I did not understand what was going on. The pain in my soul was so deep. But part of the thing that you have to realize is that what you don't understand now, things that you're going through right now that you do not understand, you cannot make any sense out of at all, later on, I promise you, later on, you will look back and say, now I get it. Now I get it. Amen? And please believe me when I say that a lot of the things that you think are terrible actually, in reality, are good.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. We are delighted that you joined us for today's broadcast. Our prayer is for the Word of God to transform you into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while simultaneously causing you to triumph everywhere the soles of your feet shall tread. Now let's get into the Word with Apostle Trevor Banks.
We dethrone thoughts, reasonings, mindsets. I see a key in my spirit. And the key is unlocking some stuff. It's already yours, but it's been locked in your mind. You understand? It's been locked up. God is unlocking it. Are you hearing me? I say he's unlocking that. That's been locked up there. Locked up by reasonings. Locked up by certain mindsets. Locked up by logics. God said, I'm unlocking that thing. Somebody gonna get it after a while. The mind. dethroning thoughts, reasonings, and mindsets, information that has been fighting or hindering your destiny, stuff that try to creep back in. All that stuff. I said that all that stuff, that stuff that tries to fight your greatness. Some of y'all done gone back to normal. Tell them, no, that's over with. It's daylight saving time now. help me, Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, God showed me this. I was up early, and God was talking to me. And I didn't even realize it was daylight saving time. But tell somebody, it's time to go to war. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Verse number 1. It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. It was a time when kings go to war, but David tarried. Instead of going to battle in the time, see, there's a time to war. There's a time where you put your foot on the accelerator. Just to win a little battle is not enough. We're going to win the war. Just to go a little ways is not enough. We're going all the way. Tell somebody, I'm going all the way. 99 and a half ain't going to do. 30, 60, somebody say 100-fold. David, for whatever reason, tarried in Jerusalem instead of going to war. See, march, even the name march. March. Tell somebody it's time to go to war. Armies that knew they would do sieges in the spring. They wouldn't try to do it too much in the winter. If they did, they'd quit, and then they'd wait till springtime and come back. Because the wintertime was too harsh. But March was the time to march. So March is the time for you to march. I'll tell someone, March is time for you to march. But David tarried. There's danger. Grave danger in tarrying when you should be marching. There's grave danger in not taking out a foe completely. Saul spared Agag and the oxen and the sheep when God gave him instruction to destroy it all. Don't just go halfway, go all the way. And Saul kept them to offer them as sacrifice. But in actuality, he feared the people. And when Samuel came, that it caused Saul to lose the kingdom. He lost his position. He lost authority. And then Samuel took his sword and slew Agag, cut Agag in pieces, to finish what God had started. But David tarried. See, when you tarry, when you're supposed to be warring and you messing around. See, this daylight, I call it daylight savings time. That's what the world will call it. But what God is doing is stirring you to not tarry. You follow what I'm saying? To move from where you're at. Sometimes you, when you stay too long, you become familiar. And people sometimes get familiar with their struggle. And so they integrate their struggle into their life. They're just familiar with struggle. So you feel like struggle is just part of it. So you stay with that same struggle because you think it's serving God. God is pleased with that. Jesus suffered. He learned obedience through what he suffered, right? That's what the scripture says, right? He learned obedience through what he suffered. But let's take it a little further. Have you ever heard anyone say, you know, it's a suffering way? Lord, this is a suffering way. You, how many have heard that before? Don't lie. Oh, you probably said it before, right? No. That's not what Jesus said. There's suffering in the way. But this is not a suffering way. Listen, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Listen closely. But when he learned obedience in that dimension, the suffering ceased. When you learn obedience in an area where you've suffered, the suffering ceases. It's like this, like a goldsmith or a silversmith. They don't just leave the silver in the fire. There's a point where they pull the silver out because it's accomplished all the dross has come up out of it. Or the gold has been purified. You don't just leave it in the fire. Just suffer. No, when it's purified, he pulls it out. Your life should not be a life of just always suffering. Not if you indeed are covenant. Probably the purpose for the suffering, the prolonged suffering, is because you've not invoked your covenant right. God does not meet need. If he did, there would be no needs. Do you follow me? But what he does hearken to is when a child of God invokes their rights. I'm not talking about we boss God around. No, God has established this. I read a verse Wednesday night, and I know some of y'all looked at me like I'm crazy. You still look at me like I'm crazy, but I'll just be crazy for you. Because get it up for me, in Revelation 1 and 5. You may not have ever read this like this before, but in light of what we're talking about, let's read it. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. Now read that. Everybody read that next part. And the prince of the kings of the earth. Read it again. And the prince of the kings of the earth. Read it one more time. And the what did it just say about Jesus? He was what? He is the prince of the kings of the earth. Now, let's balance this because we know he is almighty. Right? He's all powerful, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. He's all that, and then he's something else, right? We can't even define him. We're finite. We can't define him totally. But yet he says here, He is the Prince